Come.
I have two questions. One on this week's Parsha and one on last week's Parsha. And offhand, really one question has nothing to do with the other, but I think one answer will take care of both questions. This week's Parsha, after Eliezer realizes that his tefillahs for finding a suitable wife for Yitzchak, someone that excels in the midah of chesed, he realizes his tefillahs were answered, so he presents Rivka with gifts of various types of jewelry. Among them, shnei tzemidim, two bracelets. Rashi says the bracelets correspond to the shnei luchos mitzumados, to the two-paired luchos. So the Mefarshim explained, Ber Yosef says, that Avram was very concerned. He was concerned that Rivka should understand what a marriage to Yitzchak Avinu entails and the awesome responsibility that comes along with such a marriage. And he wanted her to realize that she's going to be the mother of a nation that's going to accept the Torah, going to accept two luchos, that is really the raison d'etre and the purpose of the existence of the entire creation. So to that end, he gave her two bracelets, which allude to the two luchos. But Rashi throws out another word. Rashi adds on mitzumados, two paired luchos. What exactly is Rashi driving at? What's the significance of saying two paired luchos as opposed to just plain two luchos? And what was Avraham Avinu's concern? What did he want Rivka to realize by giving her something which is symbolic of two paired luchos? Putting that question aside, I have a question on last week's Parsha. You know the incident with Avram, Sarah, and Avimelech? Avram goes with Sarah together to Gerar, and as was his practice, he tells Sarah to tell everyone that she's his sister, he's her brother. And, of course, Avimelech innocently takes Sarah, and Hashem appears to Avimelech b'chalom alayla in a dream, which in and of itself is also very interesting, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't appear to Paro in a dream when he took Sarah. But evidently Avimelech was some kind of Baal Madrega. He was had achieved some spiritual level. Anyway, he appears to Avimelech in a dream, and he says to him, listen, you better return Sarah to Avram. She's an Eish HaSish, and you're going to get terrible punishment. So Avimelech comes back to Avram, and he gives him an argument. He said, what'd you do to me? He said, Ma Sisalana, what'd you do to us? What'd you do to me? You caused almost me and my entire kingdom to sin a horrible sin. And Avram says something very perplexing to him. Avram says, Ki omarti, because I said, Rakein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. There's no yiras Shemaim in this place. Aroguni al devar rishti, and you'll end up killing me. Rather than violate the prohibition of an Eish HaSish, you'll end up killing me. You'll end up committing murder. Very perplexing comment. So the Malbim explains exactly what Avram Avinu was telling Avimelech. And I first heard this Malbim when I was in 12th grade from my Rebbe, Rabbi Braunschweigel, Shavrufu Shlema. And I guess the Malbim, he always said over the Malbim, he wrote, published a sefer with his Kiddushei Torah. And in the introduction, he quotes this Malbim. The Malbim evidently struck a chord in his heart, especially considering everything he went through during the war. The Malbim says that Avram was telling Avimelech something very profound. You're a tremendously cultured nation. You're a civilized nation. You have midos tovos. You have a morality. You're ethical. But it's all coming from your sefer. It's all coming from your intellect. It's not a God-given morality. It's not emanating from the Borei Olam. When you have a ethical, a code of behavior, a morality that's coming from your intellect, is a very big danger. When push comes to shove, when it's up against overwhelming desires and passions, then all your morality and all your ethics and all your civilized behavior is going to be cast to the wayside. And that's what he meant. Rakin yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. It's all coming from your seichel, your refinement, your culture, your civilized behavior, your midos tovos, is all coming from the intellect, from your seichel. And in the face of an overwhelming desire, v'haraguni al devar ishti, you would kill me in order to take sorrow. Worse yet, the same seichel with which you arrived at your ethics and your morality, you could use to rationalize killing me. That's what Avram Avinu meant. All your morality, your civil, your behavior is not rooted in Yirat Shamayim. We Jews have paid a heavy price from nations who have a morality, who have a code of ethics that's based on their own safe, on their own intellect, and devoid of any godliness. More than a couple of years ago, there was somebody from Eretz Yisrael here recruiting for a yeshiva, a former chavrus of mine from Eretz Yisrael, that said over a drasha, and he learned in Chaim Berlin, a story from Rav Lutner. There was a very famous yeshiva in pre-World War II Europe in Slobodka, and I guess the head of the yeshiva was an extremely powerful personality, known as the Alter from Slobodka, is Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel. It was an ancestor of the Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel we're all acquainted with. I guess greatness kind of runs in that family. He had a very strong personality and a very powerful influence on people. All the future Gedolei Hador of our generation, the previous generation, passed through the doors of Slobodka, Rabbi Teitz Hatzal, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rabbi Ruderman, Rabbi Aaron Cutler. They all spent time, Rabbi Huttner, they all spent time in Slobodka. Anyway, he had a practice that after the boys came back from Bein Hazmanim, they would like have a group meeting. There was one boy who lived in Germany, and he went Bein Hazmanim on his vacation home to Germany. And when he came back after Bein Hazmanim, the Alter got a few of the boys together, and he posed to this boy that came back from Germany the following question. Tell me something about the German people. You spent time home. Tell me something about them. He said, you know, the German people are very refined people. When you ask them directions, you stop somebody in the street and ask them the time, they'll tell you the time, tell you the directions, where you're going. And then he turns to you with a very pleasant smile. He says to you, nicht wahr, meaning, is it not so? And that's a wonderful mida, because here you are uncomfortable. You had to come to ask them directions, a total stranger, and they want to make you feel good about yourself, so they behave as if they need your approval. They make you feel good about yourself. Is it not so? Did I not tell you the right directions? So that they almost need your approval of what they did. And I think that's a very refined mode of behavior. So Rav Huttner was a buffer, and he led the charge against this, and he said, you have to learn midos, the way to behave, from Yumos Ha'olam, and from Germans nonetheless. He says, we have a whole Masechta in Shas, Pirkei Avos, that teaches us midos. We have the Torah, we have the Borei Olam. What do you have to learn it from Germans for? And there was another boy there, another bacher, that said, why not? Yesh Chochma Bagayim. There's wisdom among Goyim. Gemara says there's Chochma B'Goyim Tami. There's wisdom among the Umos Ha'olam. What's wrong if they do something nice? What's wrong with learning from them? Fast forward 30, 40 years. Rav Huttner came to America. He came to Rosh Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin. One day he was saying shir, and this old man came in off the street to sit in the back of the shir. And after the shir was over, he came up to Rav Huttner. He said, I guess, you know, he knew him well enough to be on a first name basis with him. Yitzchak, you remember me? Rav Huttner said, looked at him. He says, you know, remember we had a meeting after Bein Hazmanim once with the Alter, and you gave me an argument about learning midos from Germans, and I defended it. Why not? So Rav Huttner said, oh yeah, how you been? He gave him a warm welcome, and Rav Huttner extended his hand to give him a shalom aleichem. And the old man, elderly gentleman, extended his hand also. But instead of a hand, there was a hook there. And he explained to Rav Huttner, he says, Yitzchak, I want to tell you something. You were right.
let me tell you how right you were. Because when I was in the concentration camps, Nazi guards sawed off my hand. And as he was sawing off my hand, he says I was screaming out in such incredible pain. He would stop, and with that refined smile, he would say to me, "It hurts, Nishbar, is it not so?" That's what happens when you have a society where everything depends on the intellect and nothing is rooted in Yirat Shamayim. And that's how it answers the question with Luchos Mitzumadas. Avram Avinu was very concerned about something. He knew Rivka's Bein Adam Lachavero was off the charts chesed. But he wanted her to realize that you haven't made it yet. You're still missing something. You're missing something very big. That if your Bein Adam Lachavero isn't paired together with Bein Adam LaMalko, it's not rooted in Yirat Shamayim, then your Bein Adam Lachavero could very easily fall by the wayside, as we have painfully realized in our history. And that's the Luchos Mitzumados, the two tablets. The Luchos, the first five Luchos, first five Dibros on the Luchos were Bein Adam LaMakom, the Mitzvah, Rokhi Hashem Lokecha, idolatry, Shabbos. And the second half of the Luchos, the second half of the Aseres HaDibros on the other Luchos were Bein Adam LaMakom. Bein Adam LaChavero. And they were paired together. He's telling Rivka, it's a package deal. You can't separate one from the other. You can't pick and choose. I'll excel in Bein Adam LaChavero without excelling in Bein Adam LaMakom, or vice versa. They go together. That not only that, but the Bein Adam LaChavero has to be rooted in Yirat Shamayim and defined by the Borei Yos. And I'll bring you a mashal. We know that if somebody steals and doesn't have enough money to pay back, so he's sold into slavery for 6 years, and the proceeds from the sale are used to compensate the person he sold. There is a halacha in the Torah, kalakona adam la'atzmo, kalakona eved ivri la'atzmo, ki'ilu kana adam la'atzmo. If you purchase a slave, you're really purchasing a master. What does that mean? So it means that if a person has one bed, so he has to give the bed to the eved, and he should sleep on the floor. So I heard from Rabbi Pelkovitz, a rabbi, very nice, refined rabbi in Far Rockaway. He made a very interesting observation on this halacha. You walk into a room, and you see somebody lying on the floor, and somebody lying in the bed. You think that the guy on the floor is the person on the floor is the Eved, and the master is in the bed, but it's not so. The person in the bed is the Eved, and the person in the on the floor is the Adon, the master. And he said, that's chesed. That's what chesed is. I understand something. If you would ask me, the reaction would be, this guy got himself into his own mess. He stole. Who told him to steal? Is it fear from my perspective that I should give up my comfort for him? On the contrary, the real chesed is for him to sleep on the floor and let him learn a lesson. He got himself into his own mess. Let him stew in his own filth. Let him be uncomfortable. Maybe he'll learn a lesson and he won't steal next time. But that's chesed from my perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a different definition. The Mishnah says the main Torah in Derech Eretz, the proper way of behavior, the proper perspective you should have on chesed comes from the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen here, it might be a little unfair that you're sleeping on the floor, but this guy is down. He's down now. And he's down because it's his own fault. That's true. But a Jew doesn't knock another Jew down further. He has 6 years to straighten himself out to become a productive member of society. The real chesed is to build him up and to treat him with dignity and respect. That's what happens when your Bein Adam LaChavero is rooted in the Borei Olam's definition of chesed. That's what happens when your Bein Adam LaChavero is linked together with Yirat Shamayim. Gemara in Shabbos says, on the Pasuk Zeh Keli V'Anveyu, this is my God and I'll glorify him, the Pasuk in the Shira. Gemara in Shabbos, Darshan, has a drasha, V'Anveyu is a contraction, I'll glorify him is a contraction, Anivahu, he and I. What does that mean, he and I? So the Gemara says, means heavy, according to one opinion, heavy domelo. You should resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means, Gemara says, Mahu Rachum, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy. So we should behave towards our fellow man with mercy. So that really is a mitzvah of Halach Bidracha, to walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's commonly, as pointed out last week, it's commonly referred to as imitato Deo in Latin, imitating the deity, but I think it's a little more than that. It runs a little deeper. On a certain level it is imitato Deo, you are imitating Hashem, following in His footsteps, but I think it's a little deeper. We were created, B'Tselem Elohim, in the image of God. What exactly that means, the full understanding of B'Tselem Elohim, in the image of God, is not for now, but according to one of the Svarim, B'Tselem Elohim, we were created in the image of God. We were created with godly traits. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with a natural tendency, a nature to do chesed. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed, has rachamim, He implanted within us the trait of chesed and rachamim. And our purpose in this world is to take those inborn traits of chesed and rachamim that we have to develop it to its fullest potential. So when we're asked to the halach, the bidracha, to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's more than imitating. Really what the chiyuv is, to be ourselves. To develop within ourselves those inborn traits of chesed that we have. So we're really, on a certain level, we are imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but on a deeper level, the requirement is that we should really be ourselves. When a person does chesed, and he develops within himself those godly traits, so there's an ani v'hu, it's he and I. You're connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We think you could connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through mitzvahs bein adam lamakom, davening, tefillah, tzitzis, filling, Shabbos, limurat Torah certainly, but you could connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through doing acts of chesed too. You do it with the proper intentions. And there's so many opportunities in the course of a day to do chesed. It doesn't have to be these huge acts of chesed which require tremendous mesiris nefesh. You help a guy out, you cheer him up, you see somebody's down, you lift his spirits, you compliment somebody, you lend somebody your notes, and yes, you help the little old ladies with the shopping packages across the street. Those are all acts of chesed. Those are all ways that we could develop within ourselves those godly traits and ways we could connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person does this, he does chesed, he connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's the real Zekei living on Veyu. This is how you glorify God. And the Kiddush Hashem that comes as a result of your chesed is just simply awesome. It's beyond description. Chazal tell us that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us is commensurate, corresponds with the way we treat our fellow man. If we rise to the occasion and do chesed and connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's really and we're Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, there's a real Zekeli beyond Veyu, this is my God and I'm glorifying from His actions, then we could be Zoka for such tremendous chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such tremendous bracha and such tremendous hatzlacha in all of our endeavors. Have a good Shabbos.
Pretty impressive.
Go to my house and then we can drive the front with the car.
Yeah, sorry, it's a car. Yeah.